I'd like to say that I have birds outside chirping, but I have a crazy bird in my living room chirping.
Does it belong to you or did it just bust in?
Belongs to me.
Okay.
Her name is Coco, and she's an African gray parrot. She's about 16, 17 years old, and her favorite thing to
Ouch.
do is mimic other birds and fire alarms. And
That sounds exciting.
and she's in full squawk mode right now.
Gotcha. Welcome, everyone. We'll wait a couple minutes for folks to join us. Here's the agenda for anyone that wants it. All right, I guess we'll get started. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back from WolfCon for those that traveled, and welcome to folks who were online. We're gonna have a little bit of a debrief about WolfCon. But before we turn to that, upcoming meetings, we do not have a meeting on Thursday. It is our kind of off Thursday for the folks that are reviewing Volaris tickets. And then next Monday is Indigenous Peoples Day weekend here in the US. So we will not have a meeting on that day, the 13th. So upcoming meetings, the next meeting will be on the 16th. Is that right? Is that a week from Thursday? Yes, the 16th. So on the 16th, we will continue reviewing the Volaris tickets with the group that is doing that. Or anyone is welcome. It's not a particular group. Anyone's welcome to join anytime to be part of that fun action. We've gotten through just over 50, and I think we have about 30 left. So we're closing in on two-thirds done. Don't check my math on that. So that's what we've got coming up. The next meeting of the Monday time slot will be on the 20th. And we will be talking about wildcard lookups from the barcode wildcard lookups for in circulation apps. So look forward to an update about that coming up. Any other announcement-y type things, Cornelia or anyone else? I guess the only other thing is the that Tom, you're still thinking about spinning up your the fee fine sort of folks interested in talking more about fee fine updates on the 23rd. I think that is the Thursday. So we will be introducing an every other Thursday meeting on the opposite. So every other Thursday will be the review of tickets. The other one will be the fee fine group looking at the really exciting ideas that Tom has put forward at WolfCon, but also kind of taking that to the next level and translating all that into actual Jira tickets, which is exciting. So that'll be on the 23rd of October, the first one of those. But watch Slack for more about that. All right, WolfCon. We have just a little bit of thinking about sort of what worked, what people, any takeaways that folks have. It's a fairly informal, just thinking through what people really liked, if people saw sessions that they really liked, that they would recommend to others, that would be great to hear. All the recordings for the concurrent sessions are up. So there were a couple that got missed, but most of them are up there. And then I'm not sure, has anyone seen if the keynote speaker sessions have been uploaded yet? I did not check today. Yes, that's a yes. Okay, perfect. I posted this last time, but I will put it in the chat again. Here is the playlist from the YouTube playlist for the sessions that Peter Murray posted to the general Slack channel earlier, I guess last week. So definitely check that out. Are there sessions that folks would recommend that maybe people didn't get a chance to see? Either people that weren't able to be there or folks that were there, but there were conflicts. I'm curious if there's anything somebody saw that they would recommend. Good. Everyone's so quiet on a Monday.
I'm trying to scroll through the session recording worksheet to go back to a couple that I found last week that I thought were fabulous. Oh, to be continued in the chat.
Okay, perfect. That's great. Yeah, so you don't have to speak up. You can be quiet and put it in the chat. Thanks for that reminder, Anne.
Say while we were there, one of the really, 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 really popular ones was the not current LC presentation on the last day. That room was packed. In fact, I think everyone at the conference was in that session. I don't think there was anyone that was in any other sessions at that time.
For sure. And I was looking, and I think that was not one of the ones that did not get recorded. Like, so that's good. I actually wanted to circle back to that. I didn't actually hear how it was, but yeah, Library of Congress talked a lot about all the stuff that they like their implementation, kind of lessons learned, takeaways.
Yeah, it was incredible because it was a lot of what they've done on their own to support what wasn't developed for them. And I'm almost sure that people wanted to give them a standing ovation at the end because they just said, like, we needed this, that, this, and that, and this is all that we've created. They had this magnificent toolkit, and there were suggestions toward the end of by those who head up Bugfest to actually begin to have that toolkit integrated into Bugfest environment. So I think there was a lot of interest in being able to harness what they've done on their own in order to meet their needs that weren't met during the initial development. So that was really cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I hope now that they're live, that I also spoke with folks from LC one-on-one during the conference, and I do think there's a lot of like they haven't. I mean, this is true for us as well. Like, I was not able to be involved in the community during leading up to and during the implementation, which for us was like 4 years. So, I think that there's a lot of potential once folks get implemented. This is true of folks who were from Mobius at the conference too, of which there were many because we were in Missouri. I think a lot of folks, there may be, I'm feeling very hopeful about having folks start engaging again in the community and getting some more fresh blood because I think there's a lot of implementations that are, you know, are getting to the year out point or at post implementation where they may be able to have some more bandwidth to join the community now that they're live. So, and that includes LC, which is great. All right. So we had several sessions. I'm trying to think if there are takeaways from the sessions that we had. I think one of the things that came out for those that have been involved in the conversations we've been leading up to to WolfCon and then also during WolfCon, we talked about having implementing a survey and thinking about how to get some information about implementing libraries and who or implemented Folio libraries and what kinds of tools and apps they are using in order to get a sense of what some priorities might need to be for development. And as we had these conversations, implementers were having similar conversations. And so there was a lot of overlap where we think we might be able to leverage some collaboration there because it's basically the same group of libraries of thinking how to develop a tool that or a directory of sorts that could be available so folks could figure out, identify sort of which libraries are doing certain things. Partially for, I mean, I think there's a lot of use cases for why this could be helpful. Folks that are looking to see what tools people are integrating Folio with, whether that be a discovery layer or other sort of backend or reporting tools. What kind of new features that are being developed that people are implementing, whether that's title level requests or reading room or mediated requests, whatever the different things that are newer things that are coming out that existing libraries may not have had a chance to use. And maybe this is something that like kind of the old timers can take advantage of newer libraries who are implementing these new features out of the box and then may be able to be collaborators or help answer questions about certain things. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think one of the things we talked about was maybe we've just elevated this project to a product council problem. But I think that there's a lot there and maybe we could bring it to the product council at our next time, the next time we report out to them as a suggestion, and maybe that's sort of how this could go to the next level, as opposed to four different SIGs all running a survey or some sort of data gathering of the same exact group of libraries. I don't know. I'm curious what people think about that idea. I think, oh, it could be community council. That's true. That maybe is a better place. So I think that is sort of where I've been thinking about maybe it should go. What are people's thoughts about that. It has the runs the risk of like being so huge that it never gets done, right? Like, so you can do a quick and dirty survey, you can make it bigger. I think there are pros and cons, but I'm curious what folks think.
I agree that it's a great idea. Working with libraries that are implementing, we get that all the time. Who do you know that's using Workday in this way? Who do you know that has remote storage, XYZ? And I do think that would be a good introduction to the community earlier, right? Rather than, oh, well, we'll wait till we have time. It's like, oh, no, this is the time where we bring our questions, we bring our expertise and all that. I know EBSCO obviously has like a web page of here's all of our libraries that we've worked with. But even that has nuance, right? Like who's hosted by EBSCO versus hosted by Index Data but has EDS or whatever the weird combinations are. I think those nuances could be important in a database of that type.
And we were thinking about, is it a database? Is it a spreadsheet? Is it self-maintained? Like, do people take responsibility for putting in their own things? I mean, you can do an initial data grab, but then how does it stay up to date? And what pieces of it are private or want to be kept private, right? I mean, whether that's, I don't know, vendors don't want to know all the everyone to know all the people that are hosted. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what the different sensitivities might be, but I could imagine you'd also want to know, are you host self-hosted? And if not, who are you with? And what, like you said, Workday or Banner or what kind of backend system are you using and is it integrated and things like that. So it's interesting. I think that community council might be a good place to bring this to and think about how best to share the information. So, has anyone on Community Council? Who's on Community Council? Anyone from our group? Or does anyone know? All right, I'll have to go look at the list and see. Maybe I can find someone who is access adjacent.
But we only report to product council, so maybe ask them first and see what you say.
Yeah, we can check in with them and also see if we have any folks that serve on community council that might be willing to talk. Because also, I mean, it's also the implementers. There's a lot of overlap between different groups. So, all right. Cornelia, did you have other follow-up things about any of our sessions? That you wanted to.
Not our sessions. I listened into a session of the app interaction SIG about search behavior and documentation. I think you were there too, were you, Susan? I saw
I don't
some of
think
you,
so.
but no. And it was just, they didn't have much time to go through this, but they pointed out some inconsistent behavior in search functionality throughout the apps. And I do have some documentation on their SIG wiki pages, but it only scratches the surface. And there was some discussion about how this should be documented. And this, well, it's, I don't know if we have the bandwidth for this, but we should follow that discussion.
Yes, I was at that one. Sorry, I didn't recognize it at the when you first described it. I think it was the Cross app. I
Yeah,
think it
what's
was
their
Liz.
official name? Is it App Interaction or
Cross,
Cross Apps?
yeah, it's both.
I don't
I
know.
think it is,
Both.
they use both interchangeably. I think it was the Cross app SIG, but yeah, it's let's see if I can find it. I think it was, well, I'll find it in a second and I'll put it in the chat. It was definitely interesting, and that there was a recognition that it truly, there isn't a way, like Cornelia said, that different search interfaces behave differently and all the different wild cards. And there was an attempt to try to make it to either document the differences or make it work better or work make it work more consistently, like which things were used as which things were we do talk about search. We could talk about search. You know, what uses a dollar sign versus an asterisk versus a question mark for different sorts of truncation and wild card searching. And it was a really interesting way to be thinking about, is it just a documentation problem, or is it should something be done to try to make it more consistent between apps? What I found really interesting in that session was that people's experience of it is very different based on where you work, because some was like, well, in the purchase order lines, this is how it works. I'm like, I have no idea how it works in the purchase order lines. Like, I have, and I, nor do I even care that it's different than it works in the user app, right? Because it's not one that I use all the time. I think the common one is inventory, and a lot of people use inventory. So it's, that's right. Can you imagine the meeting where we try to come to consensus about what it should be? Like, I just don't know what that looks like. Because the needs are different in different apps, and the use cases, not that we can't agree on you use this term and just, or use this wild card and use it consistently, but I do think that it would be a little bit tricky to come to. I don't really care as long as it's the same. Like, and you have options for different kinds of truncation.
Yeah,
So
but
anyway,
it,
that one's an interesting one. Go ahead.
yeah, it would be nice if it was the same in users and requests, for example.
For example, yes. I find request searching just basically useless. I just go to it
Oh, yeah.
from users or from
Okay.
inventory. Like, I don't even try to search in requests. I don't know if anyone is successful in searching in requests. I'd love to know if you are.
Depends what you're searching for, but yeah, it's not great.
Pretty much need a barcode. Like, you gotta have a barcode or a UUID, I feel like.
Well, if it's a smaller library like us, it's fine because you open it and you see like narrow it to pages and you see all of them that are open. So for bigger libraries, I imagine it's much more difficult.
Yes.
It's the same issue with like the circulation log. If it's a smaller library, it's not that big of a not that big of an issue. But as you get more and more information in there, the type of search that's being used is getting bogged down and slows down.
All right. Are there other things that are needed for follow-up on where anything we that came up at WolfCon?
Who's going next year? And what are your presentations going to be on?
Too soon, too
How
soon.
to get a flight to Prague, Google now.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you Google now, I think you can pick some up for like $1,200 or $1,400. So, depending where you're flying from.
And hope you get funding.
Exactly. If not, it's a nice vacation.
True. It's true. Yeah, I guess we should say for anyone that wasn't there, Prague is the next location. And it is, I can't remember the exact dates, but I feel like it was like the last day of August and the first day of September. Like, it's that whatever that chunk is at the very end of August into September.
Starting August 31st.
Yeah. So yeah, it is exciting, and hopefully folks will be able to be there. We missed all of our European friends, I have to say. It really felt like even there were very few international, and no shade, like, totally get it. But it was a very US-centric in-person conference, which was unfortunate, but understandable. So hopefully that will be different in Prague, and hopefully some folks from the US will actually come.
Hopefully you're able to get funding.
Yes.
But it's not too early to think about presentations for next year.
For sure. For sure. And I do want to think a little bit about, well, before we move on to next year, I just want to say that for folks that didn't get to go to Tom's presentation about fee fines, I think, and he also did one on the export functionality that he's working on, which both of those were really good, and I would recommend going to check those out. That, especially if you want to be involved in the fee fine conversations going forward, it would benefit you before the 23rd, before the first of those, to watch the recording of that session, the fee fine session, which really lays out a lot of detail of where, kind of the big picture, and then into the weeds of like what the new envisioning of a new app for fee fines looks like. And he's put a lot of thought and work into that. So if you're interested, definitely go check that out before the 23rd. If you weren't able to be there in real time. Anything else you want to say about your stuff, Tom?
Not really. I mean, if anyone is interested in the transfer software that I was working that I've been working on, you can also ping me in Slack or outside of here. I'd be more than happy to help you out with it.
Is there any talk of actually incorporating that into like replacing what's there? Or is that a long range goal? Or not on the table at all?
I haven't talked about it. So in the UI changes that I made, I do have a section in there for export that the transfer information could possibly go in there. When I wrote what I did, I kind of had in the back of my mind that it could not that it could be rolled into Folio, but it might be able to used as a pattern of replacing what's in Folio. It may be a null point because if that works and is sustainable as itself as an outside middleware, there may not be even need a need for a transfer application within Folio itself. So I think there's different routes that could go. But yeah, when I wrote it, I when I was writing this version of it, I was trying to make it as flexible as possible so that as many people who wanted to use it could, but also with the idea of that the base code of it could be used as a pattern for something to go into Folio. That makes sense. I know I was talking in circles. Sorry.
No, that does make sense. I do you anticipate that that could be part of the conversation about the fee fine, related to the fee fine upgrades? I'm just curious because it does integrate with the functionality. Like if you truly can transfer, because right now you can't reliably transfer anything. And if you can't transfer, like it changes sort of the status of the fee fine and like how I want it to behave if I get a credit, right? Like, so this is why I feel like it should eventually be part of Folio functionality, because it should be how you should be able to say, I sent this to collection, I sent this to the controller, I sent this to the bursar, and now they owe the bursar. And then if it comes back, I need to credit it. Like it feels like that functionality eventually needs to be part of Folio because it changes, because it's going to change how it behaves, what kind of the transactions, how they behave.
I agree. I think so. Look, I was going through a lot of Holly's old tickets and just fee fines in general. I want to look at the user interface because I want to try to make it more secure, but also make it more usable for an ECS environment, which currently I think the way it is, it's not. But at the same extent, there's also other issues that kind of surfaced where transfer accounts in particular. Unless if it's changed and it wasn't documented, are free text fields. And when you transfer something, it's just a free text field. It's not linked to a UUID. So if you want to move that to, let's say, an ECS environment and have transfer accounts, that's housed at a controller level that are shared by data tenants, you need to have a UID. You need to actually have like information in the back end. And even just changing one could make issues. That's some of the stuff I want to address, but I think having external transfer criteria, I do have it in the UI. I agree. I think the entire transfer process needs to be handled in a more elegant way. And I think that it could possibly be reworked to fix slash handle some of the stuff that's kind of already in fee fines. For instance, one of the ideas I was floating around, and these are my ideas, I haven't written about any devs or anything. Right now, when you mark something as claims returned, it puts those fines in a suspended state. But it's an odd state. In my mind, I think it would make more sense that it just gets transferred to a transfer account that is called suspended fines. It's like a system account. And transfer accounts are used for some functionality of that nature where you're suspending fines or you're moving fines to somewhere else, or instead of having it as a separate entity within the fee fine structure. But yeah, those are some of the things I want to kind of talk through with the group and kind of think through of how things are working now, how they kind of should work, or how people want them to work, and kind of really dig into them. David.
I was just going to say the suspended fines is a good example of something that needs to be looked at again, because the idea of it was, right, you suspend a fine while an item is claimed returned, and then you potentially unsuspend and restore it. But that's not actually what happens, right? The fine is suspended, and then if you decide to bill them, the fine is canceled and a new fine is created. Or the suspended fine is waived, and that actually sometimes doesn't work or happen correctly. And then someone, me, has to go in and manually waive a suspended fee that's just kind of locked in place for no reason. So yeah, I think your approach would be fine. Or honestly, like if you're going to get rid of the fee and charge a new fee no matter what, then how good is even having a suspended function full stop, right? Like you're not actually suspending anything for any good reason. So those are all good things to re-adjudicate.
Agreed. Yeah, you're right. Like instead of suspending it, it could just be deleted or removed. But that's again, like what you touched on is one reason why I was thinking of using the transfer accounts anyways, is because once something's moved to a transfer account, it no longer counts to the person, but it shows up in the fine fee history that what clearly happened. This was transferred to this account. So if we had a suspended transfer account, you would see it move over suspended trans or suspended. And then move back from suspended. You can still wave it and do all the other fun stuff. There's some parts of the user UI that in the display that I wanted to possibly change to allow more of the transfer account information to come forward. I also know that, and I think Susan, you said something along this lines, and or if not, I know other people have, is they wanted a way to know in Folio when fee fines that were transferred to, let's say, a bursar were paid at the bursar level. So you wanted kind of that internal kind of check within Folio as well, or accounting in Folio. And I think that's something else that we need to kind of discuss and see if that's a larger need and how that would handle. If there is no transfer system, like the bursar transfer system that's in Folio now, in a future release of Folio, I think we definitely have to discuss at least like edge APIs that another system could hit. So maybe Folio doesn't take care of formatting and it doesn't take care of sending things out, but maybe it has an edge API that another system could easily hit, and Folio sends out a batch of fee fines that need to be processed, or a batch of refunds that need to be processed. But yeah, those are all different topics that I wanted to chat through with everybody.
Sounds like a good topic for the fee fine group. All right, thanks so much for that. I just wanted to check in with that. All right. So now, in our last 20 minutes or so, what ideas for next year, sort of now that we have gotten through this year, what are some reflections that about how it went this year, things that we could do differently, ideas for what people would like to see next year? One thing I had as a kind of just a general takeaway is that not having an RA SIG something early in the conference made it harder to find my people. So, like, for in-person in particular, like, I sort of had to wait until the first thing that we had together in order to be like, who's here from the RA SIG? Who's even present and accounted for? So I found, I mean, like, I found Tom right away, whatever. But like, coming across folks who you may not see on SIG calls, who may be there, it just feels like it would be great to know early on so I can find you when we have lunch, or I can find you when it's like a break time. That would be helpful to me. I don't know what that looks like. Like, is that something we do in a SIG meeting in advance? But what about people who are not going to SIGs? Like, I don't know. That's something I'd like to think about.
So that's something too to possibly send to the WolfCon planning group. I think we moved a lot of the SIG meetings to, if I remember correctly, the idea was kind of moving them to the end of the conference just because that way, if people needed to leave early, it's something they could skip, but also to resolve the issue of I was giving a fine fee presentation and the RA SIG working group was at the same time. So that way it was easier for them to break it up. But perhaps something that could be done instead, and I'm just kind of thinking of ideas, is like one of the first sessions, like maybe after the keynote or before the keynote, after registration, they have something set up like a area where you can go. Like if you're in specific SIGs, everyone goes to that. Like there's a table you go to, and everyone in the RA SIG checks in or meets up, or you just have like a 5, 10 minute, like, oh, this is everyone that's from this SIG here. And they just come in, whoa, that was cool. I got a really cool animation. But yeah, I think that's definitely something to mention to, and I'll try to remember to do it, mention something to the planning group. There should be a survey coming out soon for this WolfCon. So also feel free to add it there too, because I will probably forget because my brain is Swiss cheese most of the time.
I wonder if even just having, so there's always a big conference, I mean, a big, ballroom that has a bunch of round tables. Like, even in the keynote, having the very first session have tables that have table tents on them that are like RA SIG or whatever. Like, that might just be a really low bar way to say, oh, like, this is actually where I can go to find people that might share. Because, I mean, I always walk in there and it feels like junior high lunch, and I'm like, ah, I don't know where I should sit. Let me find people I know. And I've been to WolfCon many times, so I can't even imagine for newcomers what that's like. So it might just be a way to, and then I end up sitting with like, oh my God, everybody here is from Stanford or whatever. That happened to me really, but like, something where like you can find folks, or like I'm here with a bunch of developers, and I'm like, that might be serendipity, and like I might learn something, but it also it means it's a kind of a missed opportunity. Not that you have to sit with people every single time, but just like that first trying to find people that you know, right? And I also found Joe. So yeah, it just seems like there's an opportunity there. Other kind of general thoughts about improvement possibilities.
I just wanted to type it into the chat, but it might be easier to just say it. Hi, long time no see.
Yeah, nice to see you.
yeah, nice to see you all. I know that we once in one of the WolfCon plannings in the last years had the idea or thought about having SIG tags to attach them to your name tags so that you at once see I'm RA sick, or so that you find each other or we find each other faster. But then we thought maybe there are people in several six, and then the name tag gets really long. So we thought about buttons and stickers and everything. So this might be something we can take to the planning committee, Tom. Maybe if that is something people think is useful, I don't know.
So just make it so that you don't have to really go really close to read stuff because that will
Yeah,
ruin
that's true. I think we thought about red or green buttons, you know,
also.
big stickers on the name tag or something, so you see it from far. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it could be color coded. We could just use RA. Like we have a very good short abbreviation, so.
Although I am getting flashbacks to Office Space. Claire, we need to talk about your flair. You don't have enough flair. Sorry. But I mean, if we go with lanyards again, I like the idea of small buttons or something. And I think it's a great idea. We could have one for POs, we could have one for the main committees, one for all the SIGs. Some of us would look like we're robots after we get everything on there, but. Thanks, David. Perfect picture.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That actually did. That came up actually during the conference. I think when we were doing the SIG showcase, we talked about how to identify ourselves as either speakers, SIG conveners, and what SIGs we were on. But if anybody's been to ACRO and something like that, like you do, you end up, Robert's right, there's like giant, it's like a, you know, it's a moment of pride to have more flags hanging down below. Great. Well, that's another good idea. Other thoughts or ideas? One of the, I'm curious about remote or virtual attendees' experience of the meeting. The RA SIG meeting, which we had on Thursday morning. I'm curious, I'm just curious about the usefulness of having a meeting, the doing it hybrid and the advantage of that versus the challenges of it. I felt like the technical challenges were not as, this is my, I was in the room. What were people's experience who were in the meeting but not in the room? We only had four people in the room.
I didn't have any issue. I could hear everything. I didn't have any issues with that meeting. That's not to say I didn't have issues with others. There was one in particular that was really bad, but I think ours was good. I appreciate that it's a hybrid because I really get a lot. I may not contribute a lot to these meetings, but I get a lot from them. So I like that I wasn't able to be included, even though I couldn't be there in person.
Would you say, Aaron, that this year was better or worse than last year, or about the same?
I think it was better than last year.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually presented three sessions. Last year was London, right? Yeah. I presented three sessions virtually. That was a nightmare. I said I would never present virtually again. My experience was much better this year, but I didn't present anything either.
So one thing they did do is we were hosting a hotel, but they did the planning committee this year did hire an external AV group that came in that did the setup for the rooms. So yeah, again, I'm going to plug the survey. Like when the survey comes out, please share the pluses and minuses and everything, because they were trying to decide if that AV group actually did help with the virtual attendees or not.
I think it definitely helped, and I the one I guess that I was thinking of It was more of an in-room technical error than it was specifically a virtual error. I mean, they just couldn't figure out how to share the right stuff. And it was just kind of a mess. It took like 20 minutes to get the right slides up. And but overall, I think it was a lot better this year.
Yeah, I know the one room that they were having, which I think was south, or no, it wasn't. It was one of the other rooms. They kept having audio issues. I know when I was in there that they had to actually switch out a component because the group before me had audio issues, and then they tested with me in there, and they still had audio issues, and it turned out to be one of the components they had, I think, was going bad. But yeah, it was interesting. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, as a presenter, it was hard to tell what screen was being shared on the Zoom. You had to, it was a little bit tricky. I'm mostly curious about the meeting in particular, like whether it is worth having a general meeting at, like what is the best, both what is it worth having a general meeting and A and B, what kind of content is conducive to having a general meeting at WolfCon? So we can have a meeting like this. Is it different, fundamentally different, to have the meeting during the conference? And what's the purpose is sort of my feeling. Because having a business meeting, the rooms are not really ever set up for a business meeting. I can just tell you that. So it's always seems like it's always going to be, you know, you have a mic and the people in the room can make that possible. But I want to think about what is the advantage of having a business meeting, and is that worth doing that? Like, are there in-person people who might never have heard of the RA-SIG that may be their first introduction to it? Like, is that one of the goals of having a business meeting at the conference? Or is it that we just have a placeholder, so if we want to throw something in there, we can, because we have to put the placeholder in months in advance.
When I attended in person, I just really liked seeing everybody. So, I mean, it was such a bummer. I mean, I was virtual, and it was a bummer for me to only see four folks in the room. I was like, oh man, because that was one of the most exciting things was the RA-SIG meeting where I got to see all of you in person. And like, I mean, we do this twice a week, you know, and so that part to me was really important, but it just stinks when you're not able to be there. And yeah, the fact that there were only four, I was like, oh, that's a real bummer.
And I kind of wonder, like, I know some SIGs, like their working meetings at WolfCon, they like the in-person part aspect of it because they actually are working on like UI components or something of that nature. And they said like they prefer that. I'm thinking MM primarily, but I'm kind of wondering if the entire format could be slightly changed. Like, I've been kind of a proponent of some of the things, especially like some of the speed talks, which are like 10, 15 minutes. Allowing for poster submissions and having posters, and not that people have to present on them, but informational posters. And that could be something like, what is the RA SIG? Could be an informational purpose poster, or what are these different SIGs and what will they do? And if they did, we did on the first day, like we were talking before, a meetup, like 10, 15 minutes, spend 10, 15 minutes with your SIG file, follow your fellow SIG members. That might tie into what Aaron was saying, is like you get to see everybody in person, and that way you can connect with your people and hang out afterwards and kind of push out the working meetings. Because I don't know if anything really gets done differently at WolfCon, especially with us and some of the other ones. I know with the implementers meeting, we did put a plug in there for trying to find a new convener for next year. I mean, you were there, Susan, so you were able to mention about the RA survey, which we were working on at one of our own too. But it was more informational. It was just more of like, what do we do? What's our meetings like? That sort of thing, and not really a working meeting.
Yeah, I recall the reporting SIG did something similar when it was in Chicago, where it's more of a, hey, get to know what the reporting SIG is like and what we do, and you might want to be involved. I don't think that's a bad format, because I do think it's challenging. Whether it's entirely in person or whether it's in hybrid, just because of the nature of the audience, it does feel challenging to get real work done. At the same pace, and I'm not sure how necessary it is. This is not really like an ALA model where pre-Zoom, it'd be like, well, this is the one time that you're going to get to travel, and you have to get some people in a room in order to make a decision, right? We're in a virtual room all the time, so I think thinking about ways that we could take advantage of the format and what it could be, which is getting more people involved, seems like a good idea to.
Did any of you, I know Anna was there, but did anybody go to WolfCon when it was in Hamburg? There was a portion of the time, like I don't remember what they called it, but it was like the specific time that was set aside for little groups. We all sat outside, and it was just like a meetup, right? So there was some business done though, but it was like this, it was specifically for this, where it was just like, hey, go talk with your colleagues in whatever business you want to do is fine. The bummer for that part, none of it's recorded, right? Nobody can participate virtually, but it was, I thought, a really awesome, that's where I met Cornelia in person for the first time, so it was just a really nice portion of the conference that I missed when I went to Chicago.
Yes, that was nice. Yeah, you could get a spontaneous meeting up at the reception desk. Say, oh, I want to have a meeting for this and that, and then they put up a sign somewhere. We had a discussion on title level requests. Yeah, and that was really nice. Yeah, but yeah, there's no possible virtual attendance. That's bad. But there is not enough time for proper working meeting if you don't commit half a day to it. But I think we should continue to have those meetings, and could be a placeholder at first, but we need a topic before. Yeah, some special presentation. Because just let's just meet and discuss something doesn't work so well. But the special presentations or the one topic we discussed in the last few years, that worked out well. And we had some people that have been to a SIG meeting before from Missouri. Weren't they from Missouri?
Yeah, I think we had at least one
Yeah.
new, a couple, and a grad student. We had a library school student and someone from Missouri. So we did have a couple people who were not active members. So that was great. Of the four people in the room, which was kind of sad. But yeah, I think we should think about what format works best. And I think having something that's more of a presentation that people can spawn conversation about, as opposed to like trying to just get regular work done. Because I think David's right. Like, we can do regular work in the Zoom meeting. And doing our regular work is not necessarily going to entice anyone to be like, come join us. This is what we do. I think we need something a little more engaging. So
I
that's
also
helpful.
we had I think it was London, we had a SIG conveners meeting where just two of us joined virtually, and the people in the room, they all sat close together so you could see everyone on camera. I liked that a lot. So this was, yeah, feeling like it felt like you were in the room. A little bit better than just seeing people somewhere down the room at the back.
Right.
Well, Cornelia, I think that had a lot of to do with the technology they used in London. They had the owls, and I think that made it possible to see everyone who spoke. And I think with the SIG Conveners meeting, I also think we put it in the middle of the circle and it was really nice. That one was really nice. I think, yeah.
Yeah, and if we happen to have just a few people in the room for a SIG meeting, we could do the same. Just put everyone together in a circle in front of the camera.
I tried.
So,
Nobody wanted to come to the
yeah.
front. Tom can
Okay.
say, factory, I tried.
So the
I
virtual people need to beg more.
moved to the other side of the room, though.
Yeah, I thought it.
So we didn't have to move the remote, the microphone so far.
Wondered, I was like, where's Thomas
I had enough. I was done. I'm like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Because he and Morrow were doing all the talking, so they just handed the mic back and forth. All right, well, that's really helpful. I jotted down a few of these notes, and we will take that into consideration for next year, when we get to that point. Any other last thoughts before we break? All right. I hope everyone has a great week, and we will see some of you next Thursday for continuation of the Volaris ticket review. Come join us. It's super fun. We look back in the past. All right. Nice to see you all. Take good care.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, y'all.